This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite and I'm joined by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, it's been an eventful week. Lots has been going on. We've got some new listeners. We've got some new people on TikTok, mum. I know you like TikTok. We've launched on TikTok. We had someone called Mace who just commented, okay, Otis. We've also had to change our username on all of our social media channels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We are now at the RSE pod. We're now at the RSE pod. Make sure you follow us. We are on Instagram. We're on X. Are people calling it X yet?
Yeah, they're calling it X, formerly known as Twitter.
Ah, okay. We are at the RSE pod on X, formerly known as Twitter. And I think the messages on TikTok, where, like I say, you should follow us, made me think about how we haven't really properly talked about you becoming a sex therapist. And me being your son. Because obviously that's what this whole thing is about. And we talk about it in interviews and stuff, but we haven't talked about it together.
Yeah.
So I guess the question that's on that everyone always asks me, I don't know if they always ask you the same thing, is how similar is your life to the TV show?
Exactly the same.
Yeah? Talk to me. How?
Exactly the same. It could not be more different, could it really?
Talk to me about that. So because you haven't really watched the TV show much, and neither have I, to be fair. Like I said,
I've watched
I think
a
we
bit
both
of
think
it.
A bit,
yeah.
But what is so you and Gillian Anderson, you're both sex therapists, but how do you think you differ?
I mean, she seems a bit more sex obsessed, really.
Right. Yeah. And you're not.
I mean, it's a different kind of lifestyle. Hers is very glamorous.
They have a lovely house.
Yeah. A lovely, lovely house with a view, whereas I have a view into a garden full of gnomes. So
yes, where she has
rude things everywhere, and yeah. I've just got little names, and of course
a penguin.
Mind you, the penguin is yours, but yes,
that's true. That's true.
It's a very different thing. I mean, there aren't random gorgeous men rolling in at every hour.
No, except for me when I do come and stay at yours.
Yeah, that's different. In so many ways.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, the thing that I always tell people is I'm always like, well, obviously Otis is a guy with a weird first name, sex therapist for a mum, scrawny, like nerdy white guy. That is basically me. Name's Diggory, sex therapist for a mum. I always think that shows it pretty well. So I always feel like my life is quite similar to his. But I just want to show you this because if you think that yours aren't that similar, then can you please look at your emails for me?
Oh, okay.
I just sent you an email. And in that email, there will be two photos. And just as a little warning for everyone at home, these will include spoilers from episode 2 of the new series of Sex Education. But I just want Mum to see them. Now, Mum, can you describe for me what you're seeing right now?
I'm seeing Otis's mum.
Yes.
Seeming to host a podcast.
Would you look at that? In the latest series of Sex Education, Dr. Jean Milburn, aka the sex therapist from Sex Education, hosts, I think it's a radio show, Sexology with Dr. Jean Milburn.
Such copycats.
Right.
Copycats. Right?
Aren't they? I can't believe it. Yeah. So now when people go, oh, did you copy them? It's like, no. now the tables have turned.
They copied us. Yes.
So now you can say that that your life is quite similar to theirs. But anyway, let's move on from that, because we don't like to, like you say, our lives aren't that similar. But what about sex therapy in general then? Because people often ask me, like, how did you get into sex therapy? So how does one, like, how did you get into it?
Oh, well, so I was a relationship therapist. And where I worked, they said, anyone want to do a sex therapy training? And I said, yeah, all right.
And that was... what drew you to relationship therapy?
It's interesting, actually. It just seemed more interesting than regular therapy. So I did a kind of sort of introduction to counselling course. And, you know, and I liked it and I could see the potential, but I could see more potential elsewhere. So I looked at all the courses that were available and I thought, you know what, this one's the one rocking my boat. Mm. So off I went and did that. And the rest is history. And then because I did sex and relationship therapy, I got into trauma therapy as well, because they all sort of go together in lots of ways. So it's just been a kind of interesting evolution.
Yeah, exactly. And then because I remember when I was younger and you were trained to be a counsellor and then a therapist and then a sex therapist. Do you remember teaching me much about sex or sex therapy? Or because people always ask me, obviously, they're like, what was it like growing up? And I feel like sex was always like quite an open topic in our house, but it wasn't like we were talking about it loads or necessarily that I like had the best, I don't know, best knowledge. But do you remember ever, like, did you ever sit me down and talk to me about it? Or do you remember ever having a conscious decision about what you'd say to me or what you'd tell us as kids about it?
We used to talk about it if it was relevant. So, you know, it would be whatever you asked or whatever was a relevant thing to say. I mean, there were lots of books around as well.
Not that I ever read those. If they were picture books, I would have read those.
Well, they were. Do you remember your sister sitting in the back of the car when your great auntie was in the car and she was reading away and she suddenly said, and then the penis stiffens and erects.
And no.
She was, and yes, because she was like, what is she reading?
And you were like, that's mine. I wrote that.
Well, not on this occasion. No, it was interesting, actually, because it was a book for children.
But, what?
But she yeah, it was a book
what
for
book
children.
What book was that?
It was a Where Do I Come From book, and it was for kids. And
wow.
But it was fairly graphic.
Yeah, yeah,
literally. Yeah.
Yeah,
pictures.
Oh my God.
And I suppose it was probably meant for children a little bit older than her, but being quite precocious, she just picked it up and gone off with it.
So yeah. Did you ever get the impression that when I or we were children, or even now, that we hate you? I know that's a question. When I said to you before this podcast, I was like, what questions do you get asked lots as a sex therapist? The top one that you sent me, you were like, people always ask if I hate you.
They say, doesn't your son hate you? I mean, it's like I drag you into the studio and make you sit there and listen to me talk about sex. But that didn't happen.
No, God. Well, not quite. Although I don't know, maybe if people know the full story behind this, is that I joined a new company, the company I'm still in now, and they had started a podcast department and they were taking ideas for podcasts and they said, oh, we'll make the best ones. And Mum and I had obviously talked about making a podcast because I went back to your house for lockdown and we talked about your job and I love talking about relationships and all that sort of stuff. So when we go on our hourly walks during COVID times and stuff.
Hourly walks, 1 hour, a daily walk.
Sorry.
For one
yeah, not
hour.
Hourly. Yeah, we were allowed out
yeah,
for
we
an
went
hour.
Out every hour.
And we'd walk around the lake near your house and people would sort of walk past us and double take as they heard what we were talking about. And we thought that's a good podcast. Anyway, so I'm in this new job. I'm 5 days into it on the Friday. That's the deadline for submissions of podcast ideas. And I said to Mum, you were pushing me hard because I was like,
No.
Well, listen,
you said, would you really do it? Is what you said. And I said, yes.
Mm. But I suppose. And then I wrote something and I sent it to you. Well, actually, whilst I was writing it, what's quite funny is I was writing it and I needed examples of things we talk about. And I remember, like, even in the pitch that I sent them, you know, I'd said that you just suggested we would do an entire episode on period sex. And I remember, right as I was writing it, I put in brackets in the pitch. I looked, fucking hell, Mum just told me to write this. But also at the end of it, I said to you, I was like, Mum, you know, because I understood, right, with these pictures, what they usually do is they say it's this meets this, you know, I don't know, it's Notting Hill meets Armageddon or something. Why are those the two films I chose? I don't know.
It's always Armageddon, like, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I've never even seen Armageddon. I don't know what that is. Does that have Bruce Willis in it? Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I was like, what podcast is this like? I was like, well, it's kind of like My Dad Wrote a Porno, because it's, you know, kids and their parents and talking about sex and stuff. But mm-hmm. I couldn't think about what else it was like. So I said to you, I was like, what do you think it's going to be like? And you said Blue Peter, because it's going to be informal but informative and current. And so I said, yeah, that's our podcast. It's going to be My Dad Wrote a Porno meets Blue Peter. So...
And it is.
Yeah. Anyone, maybe we'll make little badges soon. Anyone around the world who doesn't know, Blue Peter is like a long-standing British program, which is for children, like to, I don't know, give them somewhat news on current affairs and do like, it, you know, and you get little badges and you can go into like for doing things like planting a tree or...
But instead of putting the Blue Peter, we could put this guy.
We could put the penguin on. We could put mm-hmm. the penguin on. I like the idea of that. I like the idea mm-hmm. of that. So in short, do I hate you? No. I think it's quite fun. And sometimes actually I get asked, you know, would romantic partners, do they find it weird that, you know, we do this podcast and all that sort of stuff? And to be honest, I think if they found it weird, I wouldn't want to go out with them anyway. So that's why when I was on like dating apps and stuff, I'd like put it out there and I'd be like, I have a sex podcast with my mum. Because if people thought that was bad and swiped left, I'd be like, well, great. You know, we weren't going to get along anyway.
Weeded you out.
Yeah, exactly. So most people, I think it's cool, which is good. So a few more questions for you about sex therapy. Other questions that, because again, we put this out on our Twitter and our Instagram. So we are at the RSE pod. I need to keep saying that because we need to get it back into people's heads. What's the funniest thing that's ever happened in a therapy room? Are you allowed to say?
No.
No, right. Because of confidentiality. But will you?
No. And this is the question. This is the most asked question next to, you know, doesn't your son hate you? I bet you'd see some funny things, don't you? Go on, what do you see? And no. Really no. not very often.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing most of it's actually just quite, you know, serious.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And I mean, it's not to say there aren't moments of humour in any kind of therapy, but... No, not people's sex lives are not generally very funny at all.
Mm. Well, and then on that, what do people most commonly come for? Like, is there like an issue that is like the most common one you see?
Yes.
And what is that?
Loss of desire.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So people saying, I'm not really into sex anymore. But it's that interesting thing where they're like, I'm not into having sex anymore. I'm not into sex with my partner anymore. But they're uncomfortable with that. They want to be doing that, right? Because otherwise, if you just went into it and you didn't feel desire, wouldn't you just be fine with that? You're like, oh, that's just how I am now. But they want to be.
Well, I mean, but people sometimes feel they ought to be having sex, or they miss it. And what often happens, though, is they lose the intimacy from the relationship as well. Because fear that you seem to be coming on to your partner, or fear that it's going to lead to something, make people not even touch at all. And they start organising their lives so they don't go to bed at the same time. They don't brush against one another. They don't talk about anything that could be construed as intimate or sexual. And, you know, they just end up avoiding it. And then it's really, really difficult to get started again. And so there's all sorts of things around loss of desire. I mean, sometimes there is desire. People are just tired and they don't have time and busy lives.
And so then I guess that leads me on to a question that I can't believe I haven't asked yet. So what, you know, almost what is sex therapy? When people come in with, let's say, that loss of desire or something else going on in their relationship or as an individual, what does sex therapy look like? What do you do with them?
Well, in this country, I mean, it used to be very focused on what are called sexual dysfunctions, which is a horrible way of describing some physical things that can happen to people, like erectile problems or coming too soon or not being able to orgasm or not feeling desire or sex being painful, right? So mm-hmm. those were the big things. But now there's a lot more courses which are more about sexology as well.
And what is sexology? Just to cut you off, I'm so sorry.
So it's just a kind of interest in sex oh, right. and awareness of sex and, you know, knowing a lot about it and being able to advise and help.
Could be a sexologist.
Yeah. And in the States, they've got much more of a hierarchy around sex therapy, with the sex therapist being at the top of the hierarchy. Mm. But I mean, so there are more people who will be offering treatment or help or therapy around identity issues. So coming out, transitioning, not transitioning, who you feel you are, spicing up your sex life, those sorts of things. Whereas, you know, when you move along, the sex therapists are much more into treating the brain as well. So it's often known as psychosexual therapy, because you're working more with the attitudes and what's getting in the way, what's stopping you. So, I mean, so somebody who came to me and said, oh, sex is painful, I mean, I might look at mechanical ways of helping with that, like lubrication or whatever. But, you know, I'd also be thinking about what mental blocks are there. So there's all sorts of work you'll do, from experiments that people can do in touch, which start off non-sexual and build up to extremely sexual touch. And they do that at home on their own without a therapist being there, and then come back and report on what happened. And just looking at identity to treating deep-rooted hang-ups.
So you said it's CBT mixed with that. So is that so CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy?
So cognitive behavior therapy. So you don't, but you know, there's often a lot of psychodynamic input, which is much more about how the past's affecting the future and how the way you think affects you as well. I'm a systemic therapist in many ways. So quite often there'll be lots of talk about context. So the way the world treats you, the way the world goes about thinking about sex, the patriarchy, you know, what it's like being a man or a woman in today's world, all of that as well, on top of all the other.
Yeah, and how that affects you romantically or sexually,
Yeah. And in your relationships. So, you know, I'm very lucky because I'm able to work with relationships and sex therapy and any sort of underlying issues that are maybe trauma or stuff like that, which is great. And there are far more of us doing that these days. So that means you get a really holistic look at somebody. So when you're choosing your sex therapist, you know, think about, oh, what might I need? Do I need someone that does all these things? Or do I just want somebody who can talk to me about my identity? So you can choose somebody that's appropriate to you.
Okay, brill. Well, I think that's got out of the way some of the questions that some people talk to us about sometimes, and how similar we are to the show, which I guess now that they've started their own radio show was pretty similar. We're going to be back in part two right after this with some of your questions and more.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It's the mailbag. Send Kate your queries. Two podcasts at hatch.com. It's the mailbag. Send Kate your queries. Podcast at hatchick with two T's.
Hello there. I have a query for Kate. I would like to know when the real
sex education mailbag starts.
The real sex education mailbag starts right now.
Thank you.
Welcome back to part two of the Real Sex Education podcast, where we answer some of the questions you sent to us via our anonymous Google form, which you can find in the bio of our social media channels. We're at the RSE Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X, formerly known as Twitter. If you're old and slow, you can also email us on podcasts@hattrick.com.
Old and slow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. Emails.
Boomers.
Boomers. Emails, otherwise known as elders mail. For the elderly. Just DM me on Instagram, for God's sake. I actually hate DMing on Instagram. Genuinely, if it's serious, email us. I much prefer that. And also, with those questions, just to say, we'll always keep your name a secret unless you tell us otherwise. And that is the case with these questions today. Mum, they're quite long and meaty. But I realised that last week, I feel bad for the person that messaged in last week. I stumbled over one of the questions last week, and it was actually because I tried to shift it around to make it a bit shorter and easier to read. And by doing that,
you're dyslexic.
I know. So
why
I was trying to help myself out.
Why would you move words when you're dyslexic?
Listen, I know. You're right. You're right. And what I feel bad about is that I took the mick out of the person who wrote it in, being like, "I'm going to read this verbatim," and it was all my fault. So to the listener that wrote that in, I am so sorry. This actually, I've just made that electronic elderly male joke as well. It's like I need to. Who am I? Why am I being such an? I'm being a horrible person. This teaches you. Don't be mean, guys. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. So from now on, I'm going to read them all verbatim. I'm never going to miss a word. Because also, maybe there's some information in here that we will need. Okay, are you ready for this one?
Girded.
Okay, wonderful. Strap in. Hello. This is more of a relationship question. I've been with my boyfriend for over a year now. In many ways, it's a very loving and nurturing relationship, and we're both very committed. And most of the time, I feel very safe and happy and loved. However, my boyfriend also struggles with anxiety, and more recently has started to think that he may struggle with some form of OCD, as he is often overwhelmed by intrusive thoughts and compulsive overthinking. I think we've got better at talking about it as a couple, and I'm trying to offer him as much support, listening, and reassurance as I can. But I sometimes find it very hard and draining, as a lot of his anxieties hinge around the relationship and our sex life. I sometimes really struggle feeling like I inspire some of these insecurities, and he can bring up some things I've said in the past ages ago, even if we talked about them and resolved them, as if they're fresh, and I've said them to deliberately hurt him. These conversations used to be more accusatory, as if he was trying to shame me, so the tenor of them has improved. And he talks about realizing how many underlying toxic or misogynistic beliefs he'd been harboring before he met me. Sometimes I feel like we're working through it and getting better at dealing with it as a couple. And sometimes I feel myself getting frustrated and impatient with him and feeling quite trapped and unsafe when he goes into a mood and sulks. It feels insensitive to do anything other than sit next to him and wait until he wants to talk. So sometimes I do feel literally physically trapped next to him. These conversations can often also pop up just as we're about to go to bed, or sometimes even in the middle of the night. I have to stress that he's also a very generous, loving and supportive friend and partner most of the time. I would just appreciate any advice on how you can think I can help and reassure him whilst also establishing some boundaries and looking after my own mental health. Apologies for how long a message this turned out to be. Thoughts.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is very difficult because from initially feeling, oh, poor thing, there are some very definite red flags in there. So, you know, this is not okay behavior. And it is very, very, very difficult to be overwhelmed with intrusive thoughts of any description. But it can be very, very overwhelming for a partner too, to feel responsible for them and to dump on your partner everything that you're thinking and feeling. And especially if it's not really reasonable and, you know, you're behaving as if they have done the things you're imagining when, you know, that there is actually no risk. So it ends up pushing the partner away. And the trouble is that you pull back to protect yourself in this kind of situation, and maybe you'll end up being out of the relationship without even realizing it. You know, it will become too much for you. So you start sort of not being as open and honest. You've already said you don't feel safe sometimes. That's really awful. That's not okay. So maybe you could, to be going on with, be saying, when you feel like this, partner, use a code word or touch your head or say mackerel or something that I don't know why I said mackerel. It's always
because of the penguin.
It's just always a fish with me. Code words, but a code word that says I'm feeling anxious, or just say I'm feeling anxious. That's even better than saying mackerel, and see if that helps, because you can offer a hug or any reassurance that's needed. But it's not okay for someone to then sit there and sulk. And this definitely sounds bad enough to start thinking about some treatment and talking to a GP or seeing a therapist, and find a therapist that can actually work with OCD or can work with intrusive thoughts, not just somebody who'll chat to you about how you're feeling, but somebody that will actually treat how you're behaving. So that's, you know, CBT or something.
Yeah, exactly. A few things in here obviously freak me out a little bit. He talks about realizing how many underlying toxic or misogynistic beliefs he'd been harboring before he met me. I mean, I suppose that's good, but I just can't help but pair that with the feeling of being unsafe thing. But what you're talking about there is a moment where, by saying I'm in an anxious way right now, it needs some self-awareness from the partner in this situation, the guy. He needs to be able to be like, right, I'm going into another one of my spirals, and maybe it's actually better if we, I don't know, either get some distance or she gives me some reassurance. It sounds like, if we're taking out her word though, she's giving him reassurance, and that's not working either. So
it's not enough.
It's not enough. So I wonder, you know, I always struggle with the idea that it's sort of like, you know, sometimes saying to people, have you thought about therapy? Sometimes that doesn't go down too well.
But this person is owning having mental health problems from the sound
exactly.
of it. So it's, you know, so why wouldn't you think about therapy?
Yeah,
I mean, this sort of thing happens a lot. And I'm always saying to the partner that's doing it, it's not a good idea to trauma dump. It really isn't. You keep that for your therapy. Don't just keep passing everything on to your partner. Because then you're both feeling dreadful. You know, allow them to stay fresh so that they can help you with your moods rather than feeling that they're responsible for them, which is what happens when you trauma dump and say, hey, look, I'm someone with mental health problems. You've got to look after me. Well, you know, no, actually, that's not necessarily the case. If you turn your partner into your carer, you're really stressing the relationship. I mean, sometimes that has to happen to people and there's nothing you can do about it. But if it doesn't have to happen, don't make it. You know, don't have that sense of entitlement towards somebody that they're there to look after you. They're not. This is not how the relationship started. This was not what they signed up for. And
that's really interesting.
You know, and don't push them away. Yeah.
Yeah. So our last thing bits of advice for these people is do suggest some therapy to them, and then together, you know, you might come up with some coping mechanisms, and hopefully they'll start feeling better as well. Because, like you say, you don't want to become their carer, and they don't want you to be their carer. They want you to be partners.
You do need clear boundaries here, and you need to feel okay about putting those boundaries in place for the sake of your relationship and for yourself, your own health. And I would also say, if you're changing your behavior massively for this person, you are dipping into the realms of abuse. So they may not intend to be abusive, but that's how it ends up being if they continue behaving like this, constantly trauma dumping, constantly expecting you to make them feel better. That's not okay.
Well, maybe they need to listen to this instead. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Here we go. Another one on the Google form. I love that place. At the start of my relationship last year, I told my boyfriend about prior sexual relationships, and I mentioned a random threesome I had with two men. Ooh. He has never been able to get over this threesome and brings it up from time to time. Now he's told me that he would love to watch me get fucked. However, I don't think he is woke enough for that. There's a 99% chance that our relationship would be over if I do what he's asking me to, which is have sex with someone else or with two other people, record it and share it with him. It also doesn't help that we are currently long distance. I feel like if I do this now, then we are done for sure. And I know that there must be a healthier way for us to deal with his feelings around this threesome. He basically said the whole idea of my having a threesome turns him on, and he hates himself and me for that. He says watching me would help him get it out of his system. I just really need your help to figure out a healthier solution to this. I think I should also mention that he has had a threesome, female, female, male only, in the past.
Well,
what do you reckon?
Well, I reckon if you want to do this, that's one thing. And if you're both up for it, filming it, no. You know,
yeah,
there's a real risk of revenge porn here. I mean, it might be that he's just going to get you to do this thing and then dump you and, you know, put pictures all over the place. So, I mean, I would just say no for that reason anyway. But anybody who says, oh, I've got a hang up about something you've told me, that is their problem, actually. You know, they chose to ask. They chose to encourage that kind of thing, unless you just couldn't stop blabbing, obviously. I mean, you might have traumatized them, but actually, you know, they're asking for information and then they're saying, oh, your information has upset me. So this is a little power play going on here when people do that. And again, red flag, not okay. So it's a shame because, I mean, long distance relationships can develop really well. And, you know, phone sex or cyber sex can be great, but you don't, but you have to be careful about that. You have to have boundaries about that where pictures are concerned, where there's any images that could be used afterwards.
Yeah.
And you know, people say, oh, if you loved me, you'd show me your whatever. And actually, they wouldn't ask if they loved you. If you know, no, it's not okay, especially in a not very established relationship.
Well, yeah. Okay. So with the filming side of things, you're very much against that. I would also say don't do that. Just for this scenario, definitely. I think with the pictures and videos and stuff, I'm always like, you know what? If you're going to do it, just hide your distinguishing features, basically. So like no tattoos, get rid of your face, that sort of thing. Okay, so maybe I'm less hardline than you, but I think
I think you're right. If you've got control over it, over it and you're doing it together, but it's when you film yourself, send pictures to somebody, you know, or you're being filmed and you don't have control over it.
And in this scenario, I almost think it's secondary, but it's a good thing to bring up. But it's also like, I want you to find someone else or some other people to film yourself having sex with, who we need to make sure that they're all consenting into this as well. But are they going to get this stuff? Are they going to put it on the internet? You don't know. So you're adding too many variables into the mix. And also, it's like, do you even want to do this? This isn't your idea. This is their idea. And they said it's their idea because they hate the idea of you doing it and they hate themselves for liking it. This seems like I don't want to kink shame anyone, but it doesn't seem like the best place to come from. This whole thing seems really weird. And I feel like this person can't get over the fact that you've had a threesome before, which is quite funny because with two guys, like you've said at the end, I don't think it's any mistake that you've mentioned at the end of your message, by the way, he's had a threesome with two girls. Essentially, what you're saying there is this is a massive double standard. But he can't believe it. He can't believe that you've had a threesome with two guys, and he's really upset by that. And like, I don't think showing him that will help him.
No, I mean, this just sounds like someone with a problem.
This is someone with a problem. It's big, big, big red flag. And like you said, you've already used huge language where you're like, I don't know how we can go on. I hope you don't go on. This seems really weird. This seems so weird to be like, I hate you and I hate me for hating. No, I hate this idea and I hate myself for liking it.
Right, you're scaring me now.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's weird. It's weird. I mean, maybe I'm going too crazy.
You really
in my head,
got into that.
I did. Well, I'm quite an actor.
Yeah, you are. Mm.
Maybe I should start acting these questions out. Actually, I don't want to act out the threesome. I have to play three parts at once. That would be hard. Look at your face. Yeah.
That's what she said.
The thing about taking pictures, that reminds me, what was that thing that you were telling me about on Coronation Street that's happening at the moment?
Right. So on Coronation Street, there's this storyline where a character is on a site like OnlyFans. They're not calling it that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they call it. But anyway, this guy started off putting up pictures of his body, you know, like his muscles and things. And then it turned into people asking for more, a bit more. Mm. And he realized, you know, he could make money out of it. So he ends up on this website and people have found out. Well, the thing is, the cast, everyone's split. So there's people saying, you can't do that. It's terrible behavior. You're going to feel really bad about yourself. It's all awful. And he's saying, no, it's empowering. Because this guy has a terrible scar on his face from an acid attack. And he feels that when he's able to do this sort of thing, it makes him feel better, you see. Mm, so you've got half his friends and neighbors and things saying, this is awful. And the other half, well, actually about one understands so far. But I think they're coming round. I think they're coming round to getting that he actually is getting something out of this. The jury's out a bit because he also seems very troubled and there are other things going on as well, which are not so good. But I don't know, what would you say if you were watching this? What would you think? Would you say, get off that dirty filth immediately? Or would you say, go for it, mate. You're helping yourself
and
making some money.
I think, yeah, if you can genuinely, I think if you can feel empowered and get your bag at the same time, absolutely go for it. Absolutely go for it. I just feel like, you know, there are certain situations when people feel like it's their only option or they're being pressured to do it, stuff like that. Nah. But when you genuinely, you're working for yourself, you're setting the parameters, you're taking the photos, you're making all the money and you're feeling empowered doing it, rock on. So I think surely everyone's going to come around to that. And then I wonder what the people who are watching Coronation Street think of this, though. They must be, what are they thinking?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine, I haven't looked in newspapers, but I would imagine the country's split. I mean, if I looked at the tabloids, I expect they're all talking about it. I'm just interested that it's the mainstream, that it's there at all. And I think it's great, a storyline like that. Really like it.
I completely agree. Well, let's do our own little referendum and then see what people make of that. Yeah. Okay. Everyone, if you're watching on YouTube, you can comment below. Do you think it's empowering or do you think no? And what we'll do on Spotify, I think you can put on polls on there. So let's say, is it empowering or not? And let's say yes or no. And otherwise, we'll put it on Instagram when we release this episode. But yeah, let us know what you think. Is that good? Is it good? Is it bad? Is this empowering for this person in Coronation Street? What a lovely way to end. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Please do keep sending in your questions and don't worry if they're also dark like that. That we like some of those sometimes because that's the real stuff. But also send in the light, fun ones as well if you want. You can find the form to fill out. We're on at the RSE pod. That's on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're all over the shop. Please send them in. And like I say, they will ask for your email on this form, but you don't need, you'll put it in there, but it won't show it to us. I think it's just for Google or something. So it will be anonymous. So send in your questions. We're pretty much up to date with them. So it's going to be answered pretty soon. So please send those in. And just if you want, you can give us some feedback. Let us know what you want us to discuss on the pod. It's actually made me think what you were talking about before. Long distance. Maybe we should talk about that at some
long point. Distance period sex as well.
We should talk about period sex.
Yeah, we've after all that, we've never done it, have we?
No
we've never talked about it.
This is the problem with this bloody podcast. The other day someone was saying to me, I saw this guy, I hadn't seen him for a while. He was like, how are you doing? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, oh, what you been up to? I was like, yeah, I've been working on this, I've been doing that, me and mum have started doing the sex thing again. And he was like, you've got to find a different way to say that. And I was like, you're right. I just need to say, me and mum have started the podcast again. That's it. Don't specify what it's about. Really bad. Anyway, we should. I know. It's a dangerous game.
It is hard.
Exactly. Right?
You see
you're
what I mean?
Stepping on,
exactly. You can't. Yeah. It's one of these. Do you know, when you were asking about earlier about, you know, becoming a sex therapist, I was really reluctant initially because I thought, well, they look normal, but, you know.
They're
all
weird.
Do you think they're? Because they used to, when I was training, they used to be in another part of the, we often went into the garden to do little exercises, you know, talk about things. And you'd hear them in the other side of the garden with things whirring.
The sex therapists.
Yeah, they'd all be there with things that whirred and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, really? Is that what you have to do? You have to walk around with an enormous dildo the entire time or something.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah,
and this
wow.
is what, because this is what people think, isn't it, Gillian? That's what Gillian Anderson
does on the show. I mean, and now you teach sex therapy, or you have done loads of times up to a really high level. Is that the sort of experiments you're making them do in the garden?
No, never.
All right, no, that's interesting. Yeah, but I love that.
Moved on a bit.
You've moved on a bit, but also you created the change you wanted to see. You became a sex therapist. You thought, you know what? I'm going to make them all a bit less weird. The next crop that come up that I'm going to teach sex therapy, we're not going to run around the garden holding dildos.
Yeah,
that's kind of beautiful. I love that.
It's my legacy.
All right, it's a bit of a shame for the rest of us, but. It's fun for you. It's good for you.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. As I say, get following, get answering those questions, and we'll see you next time for some more real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.